You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Of course, it wouldn't be much of a market update if we didn't get a sense of what's been happening in the markets throughout the day. I'm joined on the line by Head of Research at FNB Wealth and Investments, Chantal Marks, to take a look at market movements and see what we make of them. Chantal, lovely to have you on the show as always. Thanks so much for taking the time. What happened today? It's a sea of red. I can't find a single equity market in the green. And South African markets, I know we'll get into around the resources correlation and what's been happening there. But globally, it just doesn't look like it was a good day.
No, absolutely not. I mean, if you just look at a stock like Palantir, which has kind of rallied 150-odd% so far this year. A lot of enthusiasm around AI, reporting excellent results last night, down 7.5% today. And I think that that kind of gives me an idea of the broader thematic here. Investors are getting really worried about valuations. And from what I understand, there were some comments made by several big bank CEOs saying that they think a correction might be on the cards for the S&P 500. And that really has resulted in a broader kind of risk-off sentiment dominating financial markets today. And certainly it has spilled over to the JSE, it's spilled over to metal prices and by extension miners. But surprisingly, gold really not a beneficiary of this fear. And I think that has to do with a stronger US dollar.
The US dollar is seemingly fighting back. And if I look at some of the data that you alluded to around what's happening with US companies and how they've been treated, I'm looking at something around the, I think it's the US population as well. It seems as though the majority of the US population live in a state of recession at the moment. This is at least according to the global markets data that has been put out recently by the Federal Reserve as part of their research. This is a worrying turn because this is typically what we see around times of a recession. We saw it in the pandemic and we saw it in the 2008 financial crisis. It looks as though it's very much the same. Is this an indication of the fact that perhaps the US consumer isn't doing as well as the US might have thought they would be?
Yeah, it does seem as if the US economy is being held up by rich people and AI vibes at this point in time, because there really is a massive disparity in terms of the health of the lower and middle income consumer and the high income consumer. And of course, all the data that we're getting is super aggregated. And that means that you can't really get into the nitty gritty. But if you just read the headlines around this government shutdown and what failure to reach an agreement on medical care and food stamps, for example, can mean for a very large chunk of the US population, it really puts into focus the inequalities in that economy. And yeah, I mean, it is certainly very, very concerning because, yeah, you can kind of push through this for a while, but eventually you start getting serious societal problems as well. And the recession-like conditions in among lower and middle-income consumers can very easily spill into the broader financial system. So definitely something that we're keeping an eye on. And I think that it is another thing that markets are waking up to at the moment.
Chantal, speaking of the broader financial system, yes, the Nasdaq was down today, but Asian markets didn't fare better and they would have been trading before a lot of the US related news would have come out. European markets didn't fare better either. The DAX in Germany down, the CAC 40 in France down as well. The Rand is even weaker. The Rand we'll get to in a moment because I suspect it's what you mentioned around the US dollar strength. But what's happening from an international markets perspective? Are markets just spooked with some of these developments? Are markets just taking a bit of a breather?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think if you look at where kind of the trigger point was, it was actually post-market in the US where Palantir, for example, released results and there were several other results releases as well. And that kind of spilled into the Asian trading session and then spilled into the European trading session as well. I think that there are also broader concerns in some of these Asian economies. Valuations in AI-related stocks have run away in other jurisdictions as well. We had a warning, for example, this morning on SK Hynix, which is a semiconductor company in South Korea, where the South Korean regulator actually issued a trading warning because the share price was up by so much in a very short period of time. So these moves are starting to spook market participants globally. It's not only a US story. And then, of course, you also have growth concerns globally. You have political uncertainty. You've got monetary policy uncertainty. And I think when something like a trigger point, like the Palantir results and the sudden sell-off after market on really, really strong results, can have a spillover impact, especially when things are so fragile.
So, Chantal, are you telling us to stay away from the markets at the moment, or are you saying that there are some areas that do still offer value? I mean, the AI story has definitely run hot, at least for the last 5 years. I mean, really, I think about it, it goes as far back as the pandemic, and at some point a cool down would be necessary. Are we saying that this is kind of the tipping point for markets in general, or is it too soon to tell?
I think it's too soon to tell. I think one of the strategies that you may want to follow is to keep some powder dry. Maybe take some profits on positions that have done very well for you and wait for a correction in order to gain exposure to perhaps some companies you missed the initial rally on, or specific themes that you are underinvested in. And then I also think that there is major value in some of the large cap kind of consumer discretionary stocks globally that aren't really the flavor of the week at, or let's say the flavor of the last 2 years. And then I also think that in the South African context, things are really seemingly going a little bit better domestically, but it really isn't displayed in the valuations, particularly in the South African retailers and the broader industrial space. So I think that there's opportunity there, but you need to kind of ride through these waves of volatility. It's not going to be an overnight story, but certainly buying some of these stocks at much lower PEs than what we're used to is probably a good strategy right now.
Chantal, outlook going into 2026. I know it's still very, very far away at this point in time. We still have the Santa rally to get through. You and I love talking about that. But does this start to shape what happens next year? I know some portfolio managers use this last quarter of the year to perhaps look at how do we now tackle the new year, understanding that, of course, a lot of it is dependent on data that comes out of places like the US Fed and the South African Reserve Bank in local cases. But does this start to influence the fact that the optimism that might have been set out for 2026 might start to look a bit different now?
Yeah, I think that the valuation story is going to remain front and center because I don't think we're necessarily going to get a calming down of the things that are making investors and markets generally quite skittish going into next year. So I think there's going to be a lot of thought that goes into what US valuations look like currently, specifically in the AI space. Do we want to kind of pivot a little bit? I think a lot of investors will think about that. We'll look at the South African story. Where do we see additional value going in 2026? How do we think economic growth is going to fare in 2026? We know it was a disappointment specifically this year. And yeah, I mean, I think then you also have to look at your outlook for commodity prices. Because we've seen over the last week or so the massive impact that commodity pricing, specifically gold and PGMs, can have on the JSE. I mean, there's a spillover effect from weaker resources into somewhere generally negative sentiment around South Africa and the South African market. So we'll have to consider those things. There's obviously still a lot of news flow over the next 2 months, 2 months that's due. Hopefully, at some point, we can get some data giving us a better idea of what's happening in the US economy. We also have a lot of factors that can still sway local bond valuations, for example. We've got a medium-term budget policy statement to get through. We've got some decisions from the credit ratings agencies to get through. And I think all of that will be important in order to shape a cohesive idea of what could possibly happen in 2026.
Well, you brought it up, Chantal. What are your expectations for MTBPS next week? I know you and I might not get to chat on air about it, but I will certainly have a conversation around it. But what are your thoughts around what could be coming out of next week's midterm statement, and potentially what would you like to see come out of that? We know it's, sometimes it can be a bit of a quieter event from National Treasury, yeah. but it still is important.
Yes. So, I mean, the MTBPS is basically just going to tell us how government's finances are faring. I think from the high frequency data, we can assume that it's going slightly better than what they thought it was going to well, they, relative to what they thought in February, March, May, whichever budget iteration you want to look at. So I think that it's faring slightly better, and then they'll give us clues in terms of potential policy direction. So what we would not want to hear as consumers is the potential for tax increases. What we would want to hear is potential taxation relief if collections are running ahead of expectations. And then I am hoping for some clues in terms of National Treasury's thinking around the 3% inflation target. When are they going to kind of give it the rubber stamp? I know in principle, it seems as if they're on board, but I think that it could be really meaningful if that alignment takes place and we can get an idea of where they are in that process.
Chantal, let's wrap up with what that alignment will do for the rand. 17.47 at the moment, 48-ish on against the US dollar. We've come from levels of 17.05 just a couple of days ago. We haven't been able to actually breach 17 rand really and sustainably stay at that level. Do we see this as potentially a catalyst to finally get over that line? Is that enough, if anything, to finally push us below 17 rand if we start to see things like the alignment and start to see kind of factors in favor of the rand coming together?
Yeah, so I think it will certainly help. But the broader issue facing the rand over the last week or so are the exact things that are having an impact on the gold mining shares and the PGM shares and JSE generally. If commodity prices are coming under pressure, that is not good for our terms of trade, and by extension, that's not good for the rand. And if the US dollar is strengthening, that's not good for the rand either. So I think if you're going to see a continuation of the kind of broader strengthening trend that we've seen since the middle of this year, you will need dollar weakness and you will need strong commodity pricing. But it certainly will help if we get positive policy signals from National Treasury as well.
We can only hope to get good news out of National Treasury to improve the rand's movements. It is holding its ground, but it seems as though markets have got a lot to weigh up, and whether or not these factors remain positive, only time will tell. For now, we'll leave this conversation on that note. Thank you, as always, to Chantal Marks, Head of Research at FNB Wealth and Investments, for joining us to take a look at markets.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.